We are starting a series of messages today and the next couple of weeks that we're calling Why Worry, and that felt pretty appropriate. We were originally going to do that a couple of months ago, and we bumped it up to now because it felt pretty appropriate with the tenor of what's going on in our world right now, and it just felt like a smart thing to do. And worry is something that's pretty, I think, pretty common to all of us, that all of us have been guilty at some point or another of being a victim to worry and being a victim to panic and anxiety. Knowing that I was going to speak on this weekend, I kind of tried to make it a point to notice what it was I was worrying about. I tried to make it a point to mentally note the different stuff that I find myself often concerned about. And the list is pretty long. Let's see if you can kind of empathize with it. I discovered that I worry a lot about my job. I worry about, you know, we're making a lot of decisions here as a church, you know, when to meet, how to meet, all these kind of different things. What's the best resources and ways to do that? How can we be most effective as possible? And honestly, I know this will probably be a shock to you, planning for a global viral pandemic was not something they taught me how to do in seminary. And so I find myself feeling a little worried about, am I doing a good job? Is everything okay? Is it all going to be all right? And so I start to worry a little bit about that. I worry a little bit about the school and the neighborhood that we serve, and I want the school to feel supported, but of course, it's hard to support the school right now because we can't necessarily physically be there. That's actually kind of part of the problem right now. I worry about the neighborhood we serve, and are we doing a good job loving on the neighborhood that God has placed us in, and the people that God has called us to love and to care for and to reach, and how well are we doing at that? Are we meeting needs? What's the best way to meet needs? I panic about that. I worry about stuff like the fact that we employ a custodian who opens and closes and cleans up our facility each week, and she gets a little bit extra money from doing that through the school. And I worry about, gosh, I hope we're not like making her feel, you know, like making her hard up because we aren't meeting right now. We aren't paying her for that right now, and all these different things. I start to worry about this. One of the things I worry about, some of you know this, Brittany and I just purchased a home. And so this week, a few weeks ago, I took some time off several days this week, so I'd be able to, along with her and along with my dad, who came down last weekend from Ohio, to be able to rehab this house. Nothing major, but we got to paint, and we have some little projects we want to do and stuff like that. And so we wanted to do that. And my dad, though, is coming down from Ohio in the whole way. My dad's in his mid-60s, and I worry, gosh, is dad going to be okay? Is he going to get this virus? Is all that going to be all right? As soon as Dad got down here, all of a sudden then we started getting rumors about the governor of Ohio, which is where my dad lives, shutting down the state and shutting down the borders. And now we're worried, oh my gosh, what if Dad has to leave early? We aren't very good at home improvement, home repair stuff. So now we're kind of worried about, oh my gosh, is this going to work out? This house is going to be a disaster. It's going to look like a nightmare. Sure enough, Dad got called back, I think on Thursday. He had to drive home unexpectedly because he got word that this was going to happen. And so then we're worried about that. And I'm worried about him on the road. And again, is he going to get sick? Have we exposed him while he's down here? All this kind of stuff. Of course, I'm worried about the virus. I kind of shared with you guys earlier. I had dinner with a friend last Friday, and we found out later on she started developing symptoms, and she got a test done. You know, we're still waiting on the results of that, but now we have to self-quarantine. You know, we're kind of stuck here in the house, and now of course I'm worried about my friends. You know, I'm honestly worried about me. You know, my dad was here, so now I've exposed him. I've kind of exposed my mom indirectly, and all these different silly things I'm worried about. My sister's a nurse, you know, so she's always on the front lines of all this stuff, and I'm worried about her. And I'm just worry, right? Some of you right now, your anxiety level's like 1,000,000%. Just listen to me talk about that. But it's true. I just find myself worried about all kinds of different things, and I don't think I'm that different from the most of us. Because worry is pretty common to the human experience, and especially in a time like this, it's pretty common to us. And what's interesting is worry is actually a very informative thing. What we're going to look at today is these words of Jesus, and what Jesus is going to show us is here's how worry works. Worry happens when something I'm devoted to becomes threatened. Okay? It's as simple as that. And for me, the things I'm devoted to in those examples are I'm devoted to my job, okay? I think I'm devoted to the mission of God. I hope that's true, okay? I'm devoted to my health, my family's health. I'm devoted to my standard of living and my quality of life and our family's quality of life, right? I'm devoted to all these things, and the reason I know that is because I worry about them. We only worry about that which we are devoted to, and maybe a backwards way to think about that is the things that I really love and care about are the things that I worry about, okay? Let me kind of illustrate this for you. So if you came up to me, or if you sent me a message or an email, and you said, Wes, man, I am so worried about my child. You know, I'm worried they're in the third grade. I don't know if they're going to make it to fourth. I don't know if they're going to read. I don't know if they're going to do math. Whatever it was you're worried about. You know, I'm worried about my child's performance in school, okay? And you told me that, I would be concerned, okay? I would care. I would probably pray with you. I would listen to you and hear your story. If there was some resource or some way I was able to help, I would, of course, try to set you up with that, okay? I would be concerned. I would care, okay? But I, gotta be honest with you, I wouldn't worry about it. I wouldn't be at home and not going, oh my gosh, is Elijah going to make it through? You know, like, I would not be worried about that. And the reason is because I'm not devoted to your child's academic performance in school. I'm just not, okay? Now, lest you think I'm a bad person, okay? Earlier when I told you about our house and trying to do remodeling, you probably cared. You're probably compassionate. I don't think anyone at home was like, oh my gosh, thanks a lot, Wes. I'm going to be up till 4 in the morning now, worried about, oh, is the color on the walls going to look okay? And that, like, no, right? We don't worry about things we aren't devoted to, okay? But we do worry about the stuff that we care deeply about. And it's precisely because worry is an issue that deals with the devotion and the attention of my heart. And it's precisely because worry is something that has the possibility to just totally sidetrack my life that Jesus talks about it, and that Jesus addresses it. Now, one disclaimer as we get going here. I know for some of us, we're all wired differently, okay? Some of us, you know, what I'm going to be addressing today in the next 2 weeks are talking about this kind of the garden variety worry that we have. Some of you are now watching this, okay? You have a significant issue with worry, and the problem is not just a spiritual one. It is also a very real physical and medical one. You know, and so what I want you to understand is what I'm going to talk to you about in the next couple weeks is not meant to denigrate you, okay? If you need to seek help from a counselor, a therapist, someone like that, you should do that, right? If you need drugs and medication to help you deal with physical issues regarding depression and anxiety and worry, you should do that, okay? The same God that said these words is the same God that gave our human race the intelligence and the understanding to be able to diagnose and address those physical issues, okay? So this is not just a spiritual problem, okay? And if you need medical, physical, you know, mental and emotional attention, you should seek that, okay? That is a healthy, good thing to do. But we should not ignore the spiritual component of worry as well. And that's what I want to talk about today in the next couple weeks with us. And so today, we're going to look at the teaching of Jesus from a biography of his life called Matthew. And this teaching, I think, has the power to be able to help us know and to understand how to deal with our worry. Okay? And so here is what Jesus says. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Even if you're not a Christian, you have probably heard some of these words before out there. Here's what Jesus says. Matthew 6. He starts not by talking about worry, but about devotion. And I'm going to read from the Common English Version of the Bible because I like the way it translates this. But here's what Jesus says. He says, no one, and we should just stop and hear that for a second. No one. So that means not a one, not you, not me. There are no exceptions, okay? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be loyal to the one and have contempt for the other. And then he drops the bomb. He says, you cannot serve God and wealth. Okay, now, Jesus is basically saying, you can't multitask devotion. At the end of the day, your heart and my heart is going to be devoted to one objective, one goal, one person, one thing above all the others. That's the way it works, okay? And then Jesus says, let me tell you what I think the biggest potential thing that's going to get in the way is here. Jesus is saying for us, okay, your heart is going to find its primary devotion and service and whatever somewhere. with something, with someone, all right? And what happens in that scenario is that basically, hey, what we're often devoted to is our wealth. Jesus uses this word called mammon. It's an Aramaic word, and it's an Aramaic term, and it basically refers to your possessions, your stuff, your things, all of that. And I think that's a really appropriate term for the very things that we worry about as a group of people, because what we in America are often concerned with is our wealth. Okay, now, it may be physical, you know, material wealth. It may be greed. It may be whatever it is that we're after. Okay, like that could be part of it. If you have an entire room in your house right now that is full of toilet paper, Jesus might be talking to you right now, okay, because no one uses the bathroom that much, okay? But wealth isn't just our possessions and our stuff and our money, right? Wealth is also, I'm committed, I'll just speak for me, right? I'm committed to a wealth of people liking me, okay? Right? I'm committed to having people think well of me, okay? Earlier this week, we had this video that we shared on our Facebook page about how we're kind of trying to handle this crisis and some protocol we have for meeting together. And someone who used to attend our church, someone who I've actually never met, who lives in another city right now, I shared the video and said, man, this is how churches should respond to the crisis. And I thought, well, yes, thank you very much. That's really great, you know? And then his very next comment was, but I kind of think this part of their plan is dicey, though, you know? And I'm like, how dare you, you know? And what that reveals to me is, you know, I'm committed to, what you know I'm devoted to use Jesus' verbiage, is I'm devoted to people liking me. I'm devoted to people just thinking the best of me, thinking super well of me, you know, wanting all that good stuff to do with me, you know? I'm committed to, one of the things I've realized is I'm committed to and devoted to a life that's wrinkle-free, pain-free, and problem-free. And I'm committed to a life that doesn't experience pain, that doesn't have difficulty, that doesn't have trial, that doesn't have challenge. And I'll do a lot of stuff to try and keep that. Some of you are devoted to a wealth of followers, a wealth of popularity. Some of us are devoted to a wealth of just achievement and performance, whether that's in a job or somewhere else, okay? That we are committed to a lot of things. We're committed to a wealth of a lot of things. And here's what Jesus says. That's great, except for the fact that oftentimes we're more devoted to that stuff than we are to our connection, to our relationship, to our service of God. And that's a problem, because you can't multitask your devotion. You can't pick and choose the stuff that you're devoted to. And what Jesus understands is, hey, at the end of the day, when those two paths finally diverge, wherever they diverge, you're going to choose your thing, you're going to choose your wealth of whatever you're going after, versus choosing the kingdom of God. And that isn't just an affront to God. That's also bad for us. That is not how God has designed for you and for I to live, to journey, and to walk through this life. It's a problem. And so Jesus then, he says this thing, and it comes across to us as like, it's so old-fashioned, Jesus. And in fact, Jesus is going to continue on. He's going to make a statement here that to us feels so privileged, feels so out of touch, feels so tone-deaf, that if it weren't Jesus saying it, we would be tempted to disregard it. In fact, Jesus, you know, as I was studying for this message, Jesus comes under a lot of heat for what he's about to say here. Okay, but what he says is deeply, deeply important. I want you to hear it. It's in the next verse, verse 25. Jesus says, therefore, as in connected to this idea of devotion and our heart's devotion, therefore, I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, about your body, what you'll wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothes? Okay, like, hey, is your life just stuff? Is your life just food? Is your life just your job? Is your life even your health? You know, like, is that all there is to your life, Jesus would say? And then he continues on and he says, look at the birds in the sky. They don't sow seed or harvest grain or gather crops into barns, but your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth much more than they are? And which we hear Jesus say, hey, look at the birds, guys. And we go, look at the birds. Jesus, come on. You gotta be kidding me, man. I'm trying to get my kid into third grade, okay? Jesus, you gotta be kidding. Look at the birds. Jesus, I'm not gonna get scheduled at work for the next month, next 2 months. Jesus, look at the birds. I got a family member who's suffering through this disease. I got this thing going on. Look at the birds. Jesus, I am entertaining the idea of thou shalt not kill and trying to get your help with that commandment, because right now my kids are in my home, and I think if we go another hour, I might need to ask your forgiveness for that, right? Jesus, look at the birds. Come on, man. You got to be kidding me. To which Jesus would say, you done, man? Are you done? Listen to what I'm saying here. Jesus' point is not don't care. Jesus' point is not be irresponsible or whatever it is that you're worried about is silly, okay? Here's what Jesus is saying. I want you to go outside, and I want you to look around, and I want you to see the caring, providing, helping hand of God. And what I want you to notice in that, what I want you to see in that, okay, is that if God is willing to help these little animals who don't plan, who don't gather, right? What do birds do? Birds, they just kind of go, and they, you know, every year, they're like, man, I just kind of feel like flying south, right? And so they just fly south for the winter. They don't even know why, okay? The parenting strategy of a bird, here it is their kid, you know, hatches out of the egg, and when it's time to learn how to fly, you know what they do? They don't cover them in helmets, and they don't put padding on. They just push them out, you know, and they just let them fall down, okay? Like, the birds, they aren't cared. They aren't concerned about nothing, okay? And Jesus says, your Father in heaven still cares about them. How much more so is he going to care about you? Because here's what we know is true. The Bible tells us that birds are not created in the image of God. Or at least they are not created in the image of God in the same way that you are and that I am. Okay? When the Son of God came to this world, he didn't come to this world as a bird or as a turtle or as a fox. Okay? He came as a human being. That Jesus' point is, hey, if you are uniquely cared for by God as people created in his image, and you actually plan and are responsible and do the stuff that birds do not do, okay? How much more so do you think that God is looking to provide for and help you? And then Jesus really delivers a dagger. Who among you, verse 27, by worrying, can add a single moment to your life? What Jesus is saying right there is worry is the most unproductive, unhelpful emotion imaginable. And in fact, here's what worry is. Worry is my faithlessness in God masquerading as productivity. Okay? I'll say that again. Worry is my faithlessness in God that is masquerading as productivity. Okay? What happens with worry is I do my part usually. Or maybe I'm overwhelmed by my part and I just don't know where to start, okay? But what happens is I'm not just content to do my part and control the things that I do have control of. I want to control the other things over here that I don't have control over and I don't have control of. And for whatever reason, we, like, by worrying about it, by deeply concerning ourselves with it, we feel like somehow that's productive. We feel like somehow that's helpful, okay? And what Jesus says is, not so much, actually. What your worry is, what my worry is it's really just my faithlessness in God masquerading somehow as productivity. Masquerading is somehow that I am able to control, okay? And that is not actually helpful, right? Instead, Jesus wants us to understand this point about trusting, believing, having faith, having confidence in God's care about us. And we know that because in the very next thing, he basically just repeats his point. Why do you worry about clothes? Okay, which seems odd to us, seems kind of uncaring to us. But again, all of you watching this, you probably have multiple sets of clothes, right? Jesus and the audience he was talking to, all these people, they are poor. They eat because they work that day. They're one injury, one sickness away from having nothing, okay? They don't have clothes. They have one set of clothing, okay? And Jesus says, why do you worry about clothes? Notice how the lilies in the field grow. They don't wear themselves out with work. They don't spin cloth, okay? Which, I just love that picture. They don't wear themselves out with work. We do that all the time because we're worried. I say to you that even Solomon, he's the greatest, most, like, just richest, most powerful, whatever king of Israel that ever lived, even Solomon in all his splendor wasn't dressed like one of these. If God dresses the grass in the field so beautifully, even though it's alive today and tomorrow it's thrown into the furnace, won't God do much more for you, oh, you people of weak faith? He actually says right there, you little faithers. That's the term that Jesus uses to talk to us, okay? And Jesus' point is, again, the same. Don't be irresponsible. Apply yourselves to what you can do. But understand that the issue at work here is not, I need to worry to accomplish it. The issue at work here and the issue at hand here is, do I trust God to accomplish in the next now after I have done all I can in the current now? And the fact is, I spend a lot of my life, and I think a lot of us spend a lot of our lives, not worried about the current now, but worried about the next now, or the next next now. And what happens is we miss the care and the concern, the provision, and the faithfulness of God in the current now. Earlier this year, in fact, right as the year began, I read a book called God is Closer Than You Think by John Ortberg. And in the first chapter of the book, he has this list that I have gotten here. And it simply says the foundational truths of my life with God. And this list, as I drop it to the floor, this list was so helpful to me. I thought it was just loaded with so much wisdom. I actually made a photocopy of it, and I folded it up. And this list comes from the journal where I kind of do my Jesus time. I write down scriptures I read, and I write down thoughts I have, and that kind of thing. And every day, before I open up my Bible, before I pray, all that kind of stuff, I simply pray a brief prayer for God to open my eyes, my heart, my soul to what He wants to say. And I look at this sheet, and I read through the statements on this sheet. And the statement on this sheet that has been underlined from moment one, I put stars next to it, that I just need to be reminded of every morning is, I am always tempted to live outside of this moment. And when I do that, I lose my sense of God's presence. And I think, how true is that? How honest is that? That we are obsessed with, with living in the next now, that we miss God's presence, God's provision, God's care in the current now. And because we miss it, we become prone to worry. And so here's all I want to ask you to do this week. We're gonna pick it up there next week. Jesus has some very practical suggestions on how to deal with worry. I mean, we'll talk about it next week, but it doesn't have to be a cliffhanger. You can just keep reading Matthew chapter 6 if you want. But I want to challenge you to do one thing this week. And I want to challenge you that one thing I want you to do is I want you simply to be aware. I want you to be aware, okay? I want you to be aware of three specific things as it pertains to worry. Number one, I want you to be aware of God's care for you, okay? Jesus says, I want you to go out and I want you to look at the birds of the air. I want you to go out and I want you to look at the lilies, the wildflowers in the field. And like, I don't necessarily know that Jesus is being literal, but I actually think his advice is pretty good. I think it would all serve us well in this moment of our lives to simply go outside and to notice. To go outside and be aware. For some of you, the healthiest, best thing that you could do right now is as soon as this live stream is over, you get off of your couch or wherever you are, you go outside and you walk around your neighborhood, you walk around the park, okay? And yeah, be safe. Don't go out if you're not allowed to, health-wise, you know, like do social distancing. I'm not saying ignore that, okay? But what I am saying is it would be good for us to turn off our phone, leave it at home, and just go outside and sink in the world around us. And to notice all the things, big and small, where we see God's provision at work each and every day. And that could be a deeply powerful, deeply moving, deeply helpful reminder for us of God's care, of God's concern, of God's provision for us. Which is the very thing that starts to deliver a crushing blow to worry. Here's the second thing I want to ask you to be aware of. I want you to be aware of what your heart is devoted to. Your worry, while we never think of it this way, because worry just kind of, you know, grabs us all and it's this all-encompassing emotion, worry is actually a very valuable gift. Because worry reveals to us what I am concerned about. And it reveals to us what matters most to us. And if we will let it, worry can give us a PhD level education in where the devotion of my heart really lies. One of the things I've been struck by this week is, you know what I'm devoted to? I said this earlier, but I'm devoted to having a wrinkle-free, pain-free, problem-free kind of life. I don't want to have to go through suffering. I don't want to have to experience difficult experiences. I don't want to have to experience whatever it is that I'm worried about in any given moment. In fact, what I am concerned about, what I am worried about, is the idea of I want to postpone pain. I want to avoid pain as much as possible, whether that's physical pain or it's emotional pain. I don't dive into pain, you know, if something could go amiss or whatever. I just avoid it, okay? And it capsizes my life in so many ways. Not to mention the fact that God wants us to experience blessing and goodness and wonderful things, right? But that's not his primary concern this side of heaven. His primary concern this side of heaven is that we would advance the kingdom of God in this world, which often involves pain and difficulty and suffering. This morning, I read words from Philippians chapter 3 where Paul says, hey, I want to know Christ, the power of his resurrection, and the depth of his sufferings. And his hope was that through that he might see the power of God at work in him and through him in this world. That was what he was devoted to. And I'm just struck by the fact that's not what I'm devoted to. And when we identify the stuff in our lives, it's an area of devotion for us that isn't our connection with God, we're invited simply to repent. To say, God, here's what I noticed. And I want to say, God, I'm sorry. Holy Spirit, help me to turn. And what's funny, and Jesus will reveal this to us next week, the more and more my devotion shifts to the kingdom of God in this world, the less and less I worry, and less energy I expend on the stuff of this life, much of which is not going to come to pass, much of which is just a waste of my energy anyway. And the third thing I want you to be aware of is I want you to be aware of your responsibility. A couple months ago, I had a conversation with a friend, and in this conversation, my friend said something really, I just thought was incredibly wise. And this friend said, Wes, when I encounter an issue in my life, here's what I kind of do. I need to think through it with three columns. And he said, there's my part, their part, and God's part. My part, their part, and God's part. He said, I've noticed two things when I do that. Here's the first thing I notice. My part is always shorter than I think it will be. My part always has less to do in it than I kind of initially assume. And he said, that should probably be kind of a humbling reminder to me that I'm not in control of as much as I like to think I am. And the second thing he says, you know what else I've noticed? Is this works really well when I identify my part clearly and I commit to staying within my part and doing my part. You know when it gets pear-shaped and goes sideways? It's when I'm not content just to live in my part, but I get involved in their part, and I try to do God's part. And he says, that's a sure recipe for relational dysfunction, and that's a sure recipe for spending a lot of energy in worry. And when my friend said that, honestly, it was like a light bulb went off. And with the particular issue he was talking to me about at that moment, I sat down, I made a list, and sure enough, he was right. That my part had two or three things on it. And I could identify the relational wreckage that was happening because I wasn't just content to do my part. I was also trying to do their part and God's part. And I imagine for the problems and the things that you're concerned about, that you're worried about, and there are things there, I understand, man, I get it. My sense is that part of our issue is we aren't just content to live in my part, but we're also trying to do their part and God's part. Right at work, I don't control what my boss does with me. At work, I don't control like what the hand of God does and whether it opens or closes or whatever. You know what I control? I control my ability to work to the best of my ability, to be a great team member, all that kind of stuff, right? Hey, I don't control my kids' performance in school. Right, but what I can control is the ability maybe at home to be a great parent, to provide a loving and helpful environment, to be patient with them, to help them. You know, like that's what I control, right? With this virus thing, right? I'm reminded often, right? I don't control whether or not I get it, right? What I control is, can I take the measures? You know, can I wash my hands? Can I practice social distancing? Can I, you know, can I be wise about my interaction with the outside world and all this kind of stuff? That's what I control. And worry seems to decrease. Maybe it's just my personality, but worry seems to decrease for me when I am focused on that which God has given me to control. And once I've done that to the best of my ability, I'm able to kind of wipe my hands and say, God, you know what? I did all I know to do right now, and I am trusting you to take care of the next now. There's power that comes when we are aware of God's care, when we are aware of our devotion, and when we are aware of our responsibility. And if we commit ourselves to being aware of those three things, I think we start to tap into what Jesus wants us to see about worry. Okay, folks, I'm not here to tell you there's not stuff out there that's scary. I'm not here to tell you that there isn't stuff out there that we're not necessarily sure how to deal with and that we don't control. That I'd be lying to you. But here's what I can tell you. Your hope is not in some random act of chaos out there. Your hope is in a sovereign God represented in Jesus, who knows your name, who died on the cross for your sin, who rose from the dead in promise to you that no matter what happens to you, even if sickness or death should take you from this earth in an untimely fashion, that even then you are promised to experience and to see the sovereign, caring, loving hand of God. As Paul said, to live is Christ and to die is gain. You are promised an eternal reward with God in heaven through the riches of Christ Jesus. That is the sovereign, loving, caring, powerful, beautiful, wonderful hand of God you place your trust in. And we have little reason to worry when we recognize our care, our devotion, our responsibility lies in the hands of a God like that. Let me pray for you. Jesus, I give you thanks that you have paid the penalty on the cross for our sin. And Jesus, right now, we simply pray, Father, help us to be aware. Jesus, help us to see where your truth desires to seep into our lives. Father, help us to see your care, your love, your concern, your wonder, your all of this stuff for us. Father, give us the wisdom, the foresight, the ability to know what your Son reveals about you is true. And I pray that we would yield to it now. And we pray this, Jesus, in your wonderful, powerful, perfect name. Amen. Everyone, thank you so much for joining us. I apologize for any technical hiccups we have. We are looking forward to seeing you again next week. If you haven't already, make sure to like our Facebook page here. Check out our Instagram account, CrossbridgeTLH, and make sure to sign up for the Note from Wes, crossbridgechristian.com/note. Those are all three major ways that you can stay updated on stuff happening through our church throughout the week. We'll probably be together again next week in a setting much like this one. And so until then, we look forward to joining you there. Have a great week, and God bless.